We're back after 4 days without electricity, just in time for the 3G iPhone and the App Store launch. A lot to cover. It's My Mac Podcast 191.
The next generation of radio. It's the MyMac.com podcast.
Check.
Check.
And it's another fun week of being a Mac user. This is a big, big week. The iPhone 2G is launching. And it's not 2G, it's 3G.
It's a second generation, but it's the 3G.
Yeah, it's so confusing.
My head hurts.
So that's Guy Searle. He's from Virginia. Hello, Guy Searle.
I have to be from Virginia or Florida. Hi, Tim.
Well, you're technically from Florida, correct. We're having major Skype problems, so I'm not hearing a lot of what Guy Searle is saying, but he's going to send me the MP3 file of himself talking, so when we put the show together, you guys won't hear any of this interference crap, but it's actually there really bad this week. Also, all the way from the UK, where the bandwidth seems to be next to nothing, is David Cohen.
Hi there.
So, guys, the brand new iPhone is launching, and as exciting as that is, I think, personally, what's even more exciting is the App Store. As a current iPhone owner, and David is one as well, I'm personally not getting the iPhone 3G, 3G iPhone, however you want to say it. I know, David, you are getting one.
I am, yes. I managed to get my order through tonight, so hopefully it'll be with me tomorrow.
Wow, that would be great if it is. Are they guaranteeing?
They're not guaranteeing. They said it would be tomorrow on Monday. I placed the order about 7 p.m. local time here, but they said it was literally going to be shipped out within about 5 minutes of me closing the order. So they said with the overnight courier, you've got to remember, the UK is quite small. So they said there's a very good chance it will be with me sometime tomorrow.
Well, that'd be awesome if it does.
Yeah,
and that's with O2?
They're all on the O2 carrier. I actually bought mine from the Carphone Warehouse, which is the other retailer that's selling the phones over here. Interestingly enough, you can't get them in the Apple stores. The Apple stores aren't going to be carrying them until sometime next week, I've been told.
I heard that's everywhere, though. That's not just the UK. Yeah. Canada can't get it in an Apple store. Nobody can.
Right, they have to get it through Rogers in Canada. Yeah.
Right. But in the United States, you can get it at the Apple store.
Yeah.
Although, quite honestly, if I was a brand new customer coming into AT&T, not a current AT&T customer, I don't have the first generation iPhone, I think I'd probably go to AT&T. I think it would be a lot quicker and a lot easier. At least that's kind of the impression that I get.
Well, if the launch of the first iPhone is any indication, you're probably right. Most of the lines were at the Apple stores as compared to the AT&T stores.
Well, I bought my iPhone in August, 6 weeks after the iPhone actually officially launched, and I went to the AT&T store in Kalamazoo, and it took a little longer than it should have, only because we were completely switching the entire family from Altel to AT&T, and we got a family plan, and both my wife and one of my kids got an iPhone. Well, they didn't get an iPhone. They got a phone. An N-phone. A flip
Someone's
phone, yeah. And so it took longer than it probably would have. And, of course, with the first-generation iPhone, you just went home, plugged it into iTunes, and activated it that way, which I really like. But my understanding is you can't do that with this one.
Well,
that's my understanding as well.
It would be interesting to see. Obviously, I did all of mine by telephone. I did order it online at the beginning of the week, and then that order got cancelled when they ran out of stock. So tonight I actually called them up and spoke to somebody to actually get the order processed to make sure it was all done properly. But it only took about 10 minutes on the phone, even with the fact that I was actually porting a number from Vodafone to O2.
Well, that's not bad.
And obviously they'll send the phone directly to me, and I'll just have to connect it up to iTunes. So, from that point of view, it was actually a fairly smooth process for me. And I'm pleased that I was able to do that, because I didn't really fancy going down. They're open about 8 o'clock tomorrow morning, some of the O2 stores. But the word over here is that they're not going to have very many in stock. So I didn't really fancy queuing up and then finding I couldn't get the phone I wanted.
No, you're not going to sleep overnight. Do you want to talk about what you're doing with your current iPhone and the funny story behind that?
Yeah, I mean, I decided to get the new one because I've been using my current iPhone, the first generation one, is one that I bought in the States, and that I SIM unlocked so I could use it on the Vodafone network over here. The reason for that is my company SIM card is a Vodafone card, and they pay the bill, so it was nice and easy for me. But obviously when they announced the 3G phone, I wanted to get it on O2 because I can't use Vodafone's 3G network with a 3G phone, even assuming that I could get it unlocked. So I decided to move to the new phone. But that left me with the problem what to do with my old one. So I did put it up on eBay last week, and because the phones are available unlocked and you can't buy the first gen phones anymore, it, you know, they're going for quite a good price. I was actually looking at a price of probably about £50 more than I paid for it, even though I've had it for 4 months.
That's kind of unusual.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Not really, Guy, because you can unlock the first generation iPhone. You can't, the new one.
Yeah.
But then again, you couldn't buy the first generation iPhone in 70 different countries like you can with the new one.
That's right.
So
very true.
So anyway,
so you think people might be buying them just to resell them, maybe in a country where the iPhone isn't currently being sold?
Either that, or it's people who want to buy. You've not been able to buy any new units for about 2 months now because the supply dried up. So it's people who want the phone, don't want to get locked into a contract, and see the easiest way to get it is to buy the first gen one with a SIM unlock and an application unlock and use it that way. So anyway, I put mine up on eBay on Sunday night, and it was sold by Monday lunchtime at a buy it now price.
Wow.
Unfortunately, the guy paid me straight away, and for any high value item on eBay, I always hold on to it for a couple of days before I send it out, just to make sure the transaction is legitimate. And I'm glad I did, because in this case, PayPal have actually contacted me and saying they're holding the funds while they do some investigations. And I've heard nothing from my prospective buyer. So even though it looked like a perfectly straightforward transaction, and I always only ship to a PayPal confirmed address, and that was who I was going to ship it to, there's clearly something dodgy about the credit card he's used to actually pay me with. And so it remains to be seen whether actually it's somebody trying to rip me off or not.
Well, that's a good lesson to learn for anybody who is not familiar with eBay or selling anything online. Even if you get paid right away, hold on to the merchandise for a couple of days just to be on the safe side to make sure that till you actually have cash in hand.
Yeah.
If it's a high, if it's $10, oh well. But if it's a high, it's $500, anything over $100, I say, hold it until you have cash in hand. Because I use PayPal, but as soon as someone pays me for anything on PayPal, I immediately transfer it to my bank, immediately. Yeah. And once I got cash in hand, then I'll send it out.
Yeah, and
so it's just a good rule of thumb.
It only makes sense.
That's right.
Yeah, you got to protect yourself.
That's right. And don't want to put people off. There are plenty of people out on eBay who are trading these sorts of items, and they're doing it quite legitimately, and you'll have no problems. But you just need to
be
careful.
It doesn't hurt to be safe.
Exactly.
Well, if this particular transaction falls through, are you just going to, will they give you a free listing to list it again?
They'll refund the transaction fees from PayPal, and they'll refund the final value fees from eBay. But I'll then have to pay to relist it again.
Yeah, it's just one of those things that eBay, it's kind of dodgy because eBay owns PayPal, so it's not like they're losing anything. You are, but they're still making money, even though it was, someone's trying to rip someone off. They're still going to get their cut, which, it's not that expensive. What is a couple bucks to list something that expensive?
Yeah.
But still, you start adding those up, and eBay's making good money.
Yeah.
Well, there's no doubt that they've pretty much, they're the, for lack of a better term, Amazon.com of their particular niche.
I wish somebody would come out as a really good competitor for online bidding
and for online payment.
Yes, absolutely. Well, a lot of people have tried, but I don't know. PayPal seems to really have caught on, and it's kind of the
de facto standard?
Yeah, exactly.
But it's worth saying, if any of our listeners want to buy a first-generation iPhone with a SIM unlock, application unlock, 1.1.4, davidcohen@mymac.com, just let me know.
There you go.
Well, let's talk about the App Store, guys.
Well, I'm really excited about this. As we're recording this, the iPhone App Store hasn't been released. In other words, iPhone 2.0 software is not available. Some people during the day, today being Thursday, What is it? Thursday, the 10th of July. Some people have found the supposedly, the iPhone 2.0 software. They're downloading it from Apple servers. They're installing it on their iPhone, but it hasn't not been officially released from Apple. I'm holding off. I'm not going to download this file. Even if I can assume that people like Chris Breen at Macworld, who did it too,
that it's completely legit.
That it's completely legit. This is the shipping version. Apple just hasn't turned on the switch and made it available in iTunes yet. I'm going to hold off. One of the reasons...
It just seems like there are people that just like comb through every page at Apple.com looking for this kind of stuff.
I don't know how they found it. I know that initially it came from Mac Rumors. And I think they're probably a pretty trustworthy place at this point. They've kind of shown that they get good information. They share it. They will retract it if they find out that it's false.
Right.
And so far, I mean, it's been going on now for about 10 hours. I haven't heard anything, any horror stories yet.
But certainly by the time people hear this podcast, I mean, we would expect the actual official version to be available because it'll be after 8 o'clock in the morning on Friday and the phones, the second generation phones will be selling. So you would imagine.
It's driving me crazy though, David. I gotta admit, I'm dying to get the 2.0 software onto my iPhone so I can start playing with some of these apps. I've already bought an application because in iTunes we can see the App Store now.
Yeah.
And it drives me crazy that I can't do anything. I bought Super Monkey Ball, $9.99.
I'm stunned.
Yeah, imagine that, right?
Now, could you go and download the SDK and then run the application in the emulator that comes with that?
I don't think so, but don't quote me on that. I don't think so, though.
Right.
I think it because, well, with that particular program anyways, you got to have the tilt. So I don't know how it would work in emulation.
I'll tilt your monitor.
Very oddly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Grab my iMac and
pick
it up.
That'd be a lot of fun with a 24-inch iMac.
So right now there's 500 and something odd songs, odd apps in the Apple
store, App Store.
App Store. I keep wanting to say Apple. And
the Apple app.
The majority of them are free.
Yeah, they actually have, under categories, they've got all iPhone applications, all iPod Touch applications, which really is that's kind of a nice thing for them to have done so that, you know, for the people that do have the iPod Touch, they won't necessarily try to buy or download something that won't work with
that
their,
requires, you know, a GPS or, you know.
Right, exactly. And then the third category that I'm seeing is all free applications.
Yep. Well, there's a pie chart that I found online. I think I got it through the unofficial Apple weblog. But it might have been a tweet that I found, somebody on Twitter. And it shows how much all the applications are. The majority of them are nothing. The next one is 99 cents. And then the next one after that is $9.99.
Yeah, that's kind of an odd twist.
So it's either free, really, really dirt cheap, or it's $10. Now, there's a lot between $10 and $2.
Yes.
There are, however, a $11.99, $12.99, $14.99, all the way up to
$69.99.
I don't know what application is on the App Store for $69.99. I haven't.
It better be like totally hot. That kind of bucks.
That's a lot of money to spend for an application on your iPhone.
It is.
Anybody know what application it is? I have no idea. I'm kind of curious now, though.
Well, and unfortunately, there's no way to do a search based on price.
I wonder if it's that Natter's Anatomy, because that one's kind of like... that one's $39.99, which... that's not an application that I have any interest in.
Well, they've got... under education, I'm seeing some English and French-English translation dictionaries for $30.
Wow, but you can get that for free online. I don't know why anybody would want to spend $40 for an application on your iPhone when you can get the same information for free. And the iPhone has a web browser.
The ability to go to the website,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Unless it's one of those applications that you can speak into it and it will, you know, give you the translation. That would be awesome. But I don't think that's what it is.
There is an application on there called Shazam that that looks very cool, which basically if you hear a song on the radio, you hit the application and hold the iPhone up to the radio and it will listen to the song, and then it will display the name of the song and the iTunes artwork for it by analyzing the audio.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
That is very cool.
That's pretty cool.
Now, it's free at the moment. They say they will be charging for it later on, but at the moment, I'm certainly going to be downloading a copy of that, because that's you know, the sort of thing that, you know, is exactly what, you know, I would imagine is the coolest sort of thing you could do with an iPhone, is something really clever like that.
That's a good idea right there. That really is. So there's I think
there was an application for other smartphones that did something similar.
Yeah, who cares about them, though?
That's true. Oh, and everyone will be delighted to know that Jared is a free app.
Jared is a free app.
Jared is a free app.
So you guys have the App Store open in your iTunes, I take it?
Yeah.
I do, yes.
Okay. Let's just do this. Let's each one of us pick an application, and we'll read what it says on iTunes. And chat about each one. I'll go first. The first one I'm going to pick is Twitterific. It's free, but there is a paid version that... let's see. The free version will show you ads. The paid version will not. It will show you advertise... Or will... no, I got... Did I get that right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's right.
Because the free one will show you ads. The one that you have to pay for won't. And I think I'll live with some ads.
Yeah, instead of going for free. It's too bad that our friend from AOL isn't here, because the one I'm looking at right now is AIM, which is a free download.
I'm looking forward to using that myself.
Yeah, so if you've, you know, basically people complaining about not having MMS, well, you know, here's a way that you can kind of get past that. As long as the other person is online at the time.
I'm wondering, with this AIM client for the iPhone, can I send, say, David Cohen's not online, it's 8 o'clock my time, he's in bed, can I send him an AIM message, and then the next time he turns on his iPhone, boom, it'll pop up, or his computer, and boom, it'll pop up?
That'd be interesting to know.
I'm going to definitely check that out, because I actually used a couple SMS messages this week by sending them to David Cohen.
Yeah.
I pay for SMS, and I never, ever use it. I think the last time... was at Macworld Expo, was the last time I used any kind of text messaging. So, yeah.
Well, the only thing I've seen here, it says send instant messages and SMS text messages even from an iPod Touch. It doesn't say whether or not it's going to store them.
Hmm.
Cool.
Interesting. Because I know Skype, I can send someone a message on Skype, and then the next time they launch Skype, it'll be sitting there waiting for them.
Yeah. So the application I'm looking at is Evernote. Now, Evernote's a really great service. It allows you to create web archives and text notes and photos and that sort of thing, and save them into a client on a Mac or a PC, and then there's also a synchronized up to a website. And so you can, effectively, they're always synchronized between all your computers. It's really good for doing research and for remembering things. Now, the Evernote application for the iPhone is really cool, because as well as being able to save, type text notes and save web URLs up to Evernote, it allows you to take snapshots with the camera on the phone, send them straight up to the website, and also to take audio notes and save them straight up to the website. And the thing about the snapshots of the camera is, if you take a picture of something with text in it, when it goes up to their servers, they will text OCR the photograph, so you can then search for the text within the photograph. So if you're taking pictures of street signs or something like that, you would then be able to search for the words on the street signs, and then it would bring the photos back to you. It's really, really cool.
Is that free, or
it's free? Yeah, the way Evernote works is, effectively, they give you a certain amount of bandwidth for the website every month on the free accounts, and then if you want more, if you use it quite a lot, then you have to pay for an account. But the application is free, and use of the basic Evernote account is free as well.
Another one that I'm looking at, and we talked about this earlier, is PayPal. You can actually download. It's 1.4 megabytes. It's absolutely free. You can use it to check your balance on PayPal. You can use it to send money. It's got a little logout button, so you don't have to worry about that, you know, just sitting there. Although I would say, if you're going to do any kind of finance like PayPal on your iPhone, turn on your iPhone's locking capability so you have to put a code in it to open it up.
Absolutely.
Which is probably something that I should start doing anyways, and I never do.
Anyway, right.
And it says, the PayPal application allows you to send money to your friends and family using your existing PayPal account. It's fast, easy, and secure. Just pick an amount and a contact, and we'll take care of the rest. You can choose from 16 different currencies and can log in to your account using your existing PIN or password. So,
for some reason, I'm flashing to Rob Robbie on the Price is Right.
It's, you know, there are a few finance applications on the App Store to begin with. I mean, there's a whole page of them. So if you're into doing a lot of, you know, figuring out how much your tip should be, there's an application for you.
And it's probably
Bloomberg
free.
Has a free application, so you can check stocks and stuff like that. A lot of stuff. There's, you know, I'm kind of surprised that there's a couple tip ones. There's Tips. There's TipCalc. There's
Tipulator.
Big Tipulator. iTip. Big Tipper. A lot of tips.
It's not a tipper.
Tipulator. You know, Tipulator is actually 99 cents. A lot of these are not free.
Yeah.
Do you have to tip them if you buy it?
I don't know.
In fact, I'm looking. TipCalc is 99 cents. Let's see. Big Tipper is $1.99 because it's Big Tipper. Let's see. Tips is $1.99. Tipulator, 99 cent. And iTips is 99 cents. So none of these are free.
I have a tip for them. Don't eat Mexican food and stand near there.
That's a good tip. And you don't have to pay 99 cent for it either.
That's right. All free. Courtesy of the MyMac.com podcast.
All right, Guy Searle, do you got one?
Yeah, I got one. It's called Wear. It's another free app. It's a location-based application that helps you connect with people, places, and things all around you. Find restaurants, Starbucks, cheap gas, concerts, and where your friends are.
I
got to
imagine that... well, it does. No, it doesn't use GPS. It's using the standard cell phone tower location that's on the current iPhone.
Right. So I mean, so it's not gonna tell you basically exactly where you are when you hit the Wear button.
It gives you an idea.
It doesn't have to. Right. But it's just gonna tell you, you know, the things that you want to know. You know, where is it in relationship to the general area that I am?
That's pretty cool.
And it's another free app.
And, yeah, and it's 0.5 megabytes.
Yeah,
so, I mean, so many of these applications are just tiny.
That's right. I mean...
Well, they almost have to
absolutely.
Be.
Yeah, well, you say that, Guy, but, you know, if you look at some of the applications Microsoft comes out with, I downloaded the service pack for Office 2008 the other day, and it was 450 megabytes. It was like another CD's worth.
Yikes.
So,
crazy.
You know, the fact that Apple has got the compilation of the code really tight, I think is really good, because a lot of people are going to end up with 8 gig iPhones rather than 16 gig. And, you know, if the applications were really big, you would have no room for any music or video on the thing.
Okay, David, what's your application?
Well, one that I'm very interested to try, and I'm sure you will be too, Tim, as you're, you're an Apple TV user, is Remote, which is a free application.
Yeah, that looks interesting.
That Apple have created.
You know, I read somebody talking about that.
So what,
it looks cool. It looks really cool.
So what Remote is, basically, is the Apple TV comes with the standard little white simplistic remote that Steve Jobs loves so much because it only has one big button and a
rocker. I've lost that remote about four times. The nice thing is that the ones that ship with the iMac, the MacBooks, and the MacBook Pros are all identical. They will work with Apple TV. So I literally have six different mouses that I could use right now, or remotes. And I've lost two of them, completely lost them. I have no idea where they are. But the problem was I had synced the first one to the Apple TV, and none of the other ones would work. So I had to figure out how to unsync it first, which I did. But what a pain.
Yeah, and they do seem to have a love of diving behind the back of the sofa. So what Remote does is it basically turns your iPhone or your iPod Touch into a Wi-Fi, fully featured multimedia remote for your Apple TV or for your iTunes. So you get most of the features you would get for tracks and video that you would get if you were playing them locally on the phone or the Touch. And yet you're actually remote controlling the iPod or the Apple TV or your iTunes. Really, you know, it's amazing that I'm pretty sure that people had looked at doing things like this before. I seem to remember seeing something that you could load up on your Mac that ran a web service that you, so you could then log on locally via the web browser on your iPhone to do something similar. But obviously with the application support, this is all built right in. It's nice and small, nice and neat. And I'm really looking forward to being able to control my Apple TV using it.
One of the ones I'm looking at is Bomberman Touch, The Legend of Mystic Bomb. This is from Hudson Soft. It is $7.99, so it's not a free one. And it's a whopping 9.4 megabytes, so wow, you better have some free space on your Touch or your iPhone to download this sucker here. Bomberman is an old series of games. I mean, there's... I think it first came out, in fact, it says right here, for the NES in 1985.
Yeah.
And there's been over 60 titles within the series now. Over 10 million copies have been sold. I think this is probably one that I'm going to pay for. I've always liked the Bomberman series. I played it, I think, last year on Xbox Live, and it was pretty fun. I never paid for it. I just had the demo, and I was like, oh, okay, that was good enough, but it's time for GTA again.
Well, have either of you played games on the iPod?
Yeah, I've got like four or five for the iPod Classic.
Yeah.
And how did they work out?
Most of them suck. But, I mean, you know, the scroll wheel is just not a good gaming platform. Miss Pac-Man is almost unplayable. Let's see. There was one. Donnie did a review of
it. Well, no, not so much for the iPod, but for the iPhone.
No, there has been none for the iPhone.
Well, David has a jailbroken iPhone. Do you have any jailbroken game apps?
My iPhone was jailbroken, really, so I could semi-unlock it. I never really got into the whole sort of third-party app scene. I have played a couple of, you know, simple puzzle games and that sort of thing, but nothing really, really major.
You know, the problem for me, Guy, was with, and this is why I never jailbroke my phone. To me, it all came down to a simple fact that the people that was providing software for a jailbroken iPhone weren't professional, or they weren't, you know, ever looking to make money, or, you know, there's no quality control. So it's kind of iffy on what it's going to be like. There was no oversight at all. And I didn't really want to put something that I paid $5.99 for, some little piece of crap software that who knows what it's going to do with the rest of the applications on the iPhone. So I never tried it. I never jailbroke my phone. I had no desire to. I paid too much money for this thing not to work.
Yeah, that's understandable.
Okay, so that was mine, Bomberman. Who's it's Guy's turn?
My turn. Another one from AOL. AOL Radio. Over 200 stations that span across 25 genres. All, you know, CBS Radio and some of their partners. And again, this is all free.
Huh.
And I think people will be probably reasonably surprised at the number of free apps there are as compared to the paid apps. I mean, you talked about the chart that you found, but just by going through some of these genres in the App Store, I'm just really amazed at some of the stuff that they're putting out there.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
David Cohen.
The next one is another free one. This is one I spotted in the finance section. It's got a fantastic name. It's called Save Benji's. and what this basically does is, if you're looking for a product, you can search for it on the in the application. It will list you all the online prices to allow you to do a price comparison while you're in front of the products in the store, and also allow you to get a product description and also see reviews of the product. So if you're a Best Buy and the, you know, spotty salesman is trying to sell you some digital camera, you'll be able to quickly whip out your iPhone and actually check and see whether, you know, the tech community at large agrees with him that it's actually the best camera there on the market for the right sort of price. So I think these are the sort of things that are really going to be quite game changers, because all of a sudden all that stuff that we do at home in terms of, you know, using the internet to search for best prices and find out whether stuff's any good or not, you're going to be able to do in the palm of your hand when you're actually out in the store. So that's going to be quite interesting. And that one is only 0.2 megabytes, and it is also free.
If you guys remember back when we had, it was a WWDC, and we had a live report from the WWDC on the podcast. You remember that, right? Okay.
Yes.
So one of the people that we talked to, one of the developers that was just, you know, plucked out and thrown on the mic by Lee was a guy by the name of Bill Dudney. He runs Gala Factory Software. He sent me an email today because I said, hey, you know, when you guys go live, let me know. And they are live. They actually have two applications on the iPhone, or in the App Store, I should say. One's $1.99, and it's called Dot Game. Do you know what a dot game is, Guy? You remember when you would draw the dots in a square pattern on a big sheet of paper, and then you had to connect lines? And then if you got it, you got to put your initials inside that square? You never play that?
No, I've never played that.
Oh, wow, I know David Cohen has. God, I used to play that as a kid. In fact, I played that with my kids before. It's just a simple game, something easy to do at a restaurant, stuff like that. They made it for the iPhone. It's $1.99. That's one I'm actually going to buy, not because I've talked to the developer, but because I think that that would be a fun game to play. And they also have Riddle Racer. That one's a little harder to describe. Maneuver your car to the checkered flag in the center by swiping the car and the cones into position on the iPhone's multi-touch display. The car and cones can only move if there is something to stop them, which makes the path, makes the one path to the finish line a little harder to find. It looks interesting. This is one that I kind of wish there was a demo so I could take a look at it before I try to play it. Unfortunately, it's $5. I probably will pay for it if... we'll have to see. There's so many products out there right now for that.
I know. Well, who makes that?
That's from Bill Dundee, the guy we had on the podcast. So I probably will buy it just because it's him.
What was the name of their site?
I don't know what the name of the site is. Let me see. Now, I wonder, is there an... No, there's no way to go to the developer site from the App Store. Which I kind of wish there was. That's kind of a flaw, I think.
If you go into the
but it's Gala Factory Software.
If you go into the application description, there's a link in there to their website for each of the applications.
Where is it? Okay. There. Yeah.
So
it's galafactory.com.
Ah.
Awesome. Thank you. I think I knew that was in there, but I just didn't see it. Let's stop there for a few minutes, guys. We need to talk about our sponsor for the show.
Yeah.
And this is a really good one.
we all want this. MacSales.com, if you're listening, we'd all really like this.
I don't need it. I've got enough laptops as it is. All the kids have one. But my four-year-old could probably have fun with this. So this is an Apple iBook G3 800 megahertz. Now, everyone out there is thinking, what? You mean an actual iBook? Yes, an actual iBook G3.
12-inch screen.
159 bucks. That is awesome.
That's the drop dead
price. Now, this is obviously a very old computer. But if you don't have a laptop and you're finding yourself wishing that you could check your mail or browse the internet or stuff like that in either another room or occasionally at lunch when you're at work or anything like that, and you don't want to buy an iPhone because the screen is just too small for you, this might be a really good solution. I mean, $159. It comes with macOS 10.2.8, and you're probably not going to upgrade it past that. It doesn't have DVD. It's just a CD-ROM. It does have macOS 9 on it. You get AppleWorks. You get Fax STF, X, iCal, iMovie 3, iPhoto 2, Automatic, Quicken 2003, and Sound Studio. A 45-day warranty. The battery is guaranteed to last at least 2 hours. Because, these are not new machines.
Yeah, but that's important because you buy a similar machine like this off eBay, I guarantee you that the battery will be dead.
It's going to be a lot more than... And it's going to cost a lot more than this.
I've bought used laptops off eBay before, and whenever I do that, I always factor into the fact that I'm probably going to have to buy a reconditioned or a remanufactured battery for them, because, if it's the original battery, it'll be toast.
So this is some of the information. It's OWC 45-day warranty. Covers the iBook for proper operation, including FireWire, USB, Ethernet, airport, and general operation. The internal modem has not been tested and is not covered by the warranty. So,
Now, does this come with an airport
card?
No,
you'll have to get an airport card for it. But it does have an Ethernet port. Okay. So, like I said, if you're at work and you just, want to plug your own computer into the network and browse, you can do that. Let's see. Battery notice. Original runtime battery was quoted by Apple as up to 5 hours. Runtime will vary with use. OWC guarantees the Apple battery has been tested and has a runtime of at least 2 hours. So you might get more. Apple Genuine AC adapter with power plug included. Apple iBook computers offered in used condition in good or fair. Units may have scratches and or other cosmetic flaws, which do not affect the operation or usability of the computer.
But these are the crystal white iBooks. They're not the original toilet seat colored ones.
No, so exactly.
Unless they're really badly scuffed, you just can't see the marks on them because the case is translucent.
Well, I have to tell you, about 2 years ago, I got Chad an iBook. And the iBook that I got, Chad Perry, the ex-host of the show, I got him exactly this iBook, an 800 megahertz PowerPC G3. He eventually got, because I got him a MacBook as well, he passed the iBook to his wife. She still uses it to this day. She loves it. Yeah. She doesn't. Now, Chad did buy, and I think he paid like $100 for it, like on eBay or something. I don't remember. But he did get an airport card for it. And it was very easy to install. And she uses it all the time. Right. She's very happy with it.
As far as the airport card goes, if this machine is constructed the way I think it is, all you really need to do, there's two little clicks on top of the keyboard. Unclick that, and the whole keyboard comes out, and right there is where the airport card
goes. That's exactly what
you
do. Like we said, it's a 12.1-inch diagonal screen. It can go up to 640 megabytes. Megabytes of RAM.
Megabytes.
It's got
RAM,
a 30 gig hard drive in it already. But this is a decent little machine, even to this day, and for $159.
This is steel.
And honestly, if you pay for a new battery and an airport card, you are still going to spend less on this machine than something you'd get off eBay.
And I personally, a choice between a decent, newer, used PC laptop and this old
with
airport or with wireless
and with a warranty from OWC.
Yeah, I would rather get with the Apple iBook. You know, if I didn't have laptops galore already in this house and I was looking at getting the kids something so they can browse the internet and stuff, I think I would probably get this machine. I mean, I just came across it by happenstance today, and I thought that is an awesome. You know what? I think they've got more than one, too. Let me do a quick search on their site. They've got that one for $159. They do have the Apple Wireless 802.11b wireless card. That's the original.
Which
hard
is
to find.
That's the only one.
Limited supply, but they're selling it for $67.99. So you can literally pick up that iBook and the airport card, and it's less than $220.
What about batteries?
Just had a quick look on eBay.com, and similar machines are selling for in the region of $300-$400 on there.
Yeah,
in fact, even some of the older G3 PowerBooks, you know, the Pismos and that sort of thing, are selling for more than this, for $250. So this really is for a machine with a warranty in particular, has been professionally reconditioned. This really is a very good deal.
I'm looking at their site.
Yeah,
they've got another one here, Guy, for $149. I don't know what the difference is between the two. Let's see. This is a 12-inch iBook, G3, 800 megahertz with 256 megs of RAM, 30 gig hard drive, CD. It looks like exactly the same, except for it's $149.
Maybe the case condition is not quite as good on that one.
Probably. I would assume that that's probably the case. I'm scrolling down. I just did a quick search for iBook on OWC. And it looks like that's about all of them. So there's two of them. You know, depending on what you're going to do with it, if you're just going to give it to your kid, maybe you want to go with the $150 version. I mean, $150.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just so cheap.
For anybody thinking, the G3, you know, is too old, there wasn't an all, apart from the Altivex stuff, there wasn't a lot of difference between the G3 and the G4. So for everyday tasks, an 800 megahertz G3 or an 800 megahertz G4, there's not really very much in it. Probably only 5-10%.
Okay.
Unless you're doing encoding or something like that, then you're not going to notice.
Now, if this is something that you're interested in, but you're thinking, yeah, but you know what, I really need to get on the internet with it, and I don't want to have to buy other things for it, OWC also has, for $259.
Yeah, I was about to bring that up. I just saw
the
that.
The same machine, iBook G3 800 megahertz, with 640 megabytes of RAM, so it's been maxed out, and includes an AirPort wireless card. So that's probably...
Unbelievable.
That's probably the best deal. $259. So, OWC, Otherworld Computing at MacSales.com, thank you very much for sponsoring the podcast. These are very good deal on these computers. I'm not going to be surprised at all if I look at this come next week, guys, and they're all gone because the listeners of the podcast went and grabbed them. Because those are just good prices.
I'm willing to bet that they won't be there by Saturday.
Yeah, I wouldn't be a bit surprised either. It's a really fantastic deal. I had no idea that OWC actually sold computers. I thought it was just accessories and, you know, hard drives and DVD players and, you know, all that, upgrades and audio gear and everything but the computer. But here they are. They've got some used computers. So if you've been looking for a laptop, you don't want to spend a lot of money, you don't care about the latest and greatest as far as the Mac OS, you know, 10.5, 10.4, all you care about is being able to get online, browse the internet, check your email. This is a perfect machine for that. It really is. I mean, and who cares if it's that fast? You're just browsing the internet. It's not like you need super, super speed or anything like that. So I thought that was a...
And anything else you might want to get, OWC has right. it.
So once again, thanks, OWC. Hey, guys, I picked up a couple games. One of them kind of freaked me out because it says games for Windows at the very top of it, but it's actually a game that you can play on the Mac or the PC. And it's called Wall-E. I spent $20 for the $20. I think $20 for this. It was for my now 5-year-old. She just had a birthday.
Right.
We had seen Wall-E. We talked about that on the last show that we recorded.
Yeah.
She's all into Wall-E, so she sees this at Target I think it was Target. She wants to buy it. I pick it up. I see games for Windows. I'm thinking, well, you know, I can either launch VMware and fire it up that way, or I could just, you know, go to boot camp and boot into Windows and she could play it. But then I look on the back and it's for Mac too. And I'm like, oh, cool.
Excellent.
So I picked up the game.
Well, that can't be too much of a surprise considering that it's, you know, licensed from Pixar.
Well, you'd be surprised, guy. So I picked it up.
Yeah, true.
And it's unplayable. It's obviously a game that was ported from the PC, probably using Cinder. Or is it Cinder or Cider?
Cider.
And it looks okay, but the controls are keys, and it's not the arrow keys, and there's no way to change it. So my daughter gets very confused on which button to push to go where.
Does it?
I have the Xbox 360 controller for the PC that I have the Mac drivers for.
Doesn't work.
And that works with every game other than this one. This one will not see it.
What about if you do load it up under VMware or
I did that. Same thing. It will not use this controller, even though on both Vista and XP Professional in boot camp with the drivers for this controller, it still will not see it in the game.
But of course, you know that games itself has been ported to the PC and the Mac from the consoles, so that's probably why.
I'm very, very disappointed. It says right on here that it's compatible with this controller. It says supports Xbox 360 controller for Windows. Right on the box, doesn't work.
There's a reason they call that sort of stuff shovelware.
Yeah, and you know, I knew it would be a crap game. I mean, but I wasn't going to be the one to play it. And if my daughter can roll around on a screen as Wall-E and hear some cool sound effects of Wall-E, she'd be very happy.
Yeah.
But it's unplayable, so I'm very, very disappointed. If you see this game, PC, DVD, games for Windows, Disney Pixar, Wall-E, do not buy it.
Well,
it's horrible.
My son's seen the ads for the Wii version, and he's been kind of going on about that, and I'm going to try and steer him away from that, because I suspect it'll be much of the same even on the consoles.
Well, no, I think it would probably work just fine on the consoles because there is no other input device that you could use.
But
controlling it will probably work, but it's
a crap
game.
It's a crap game, that's the thing.
Yeah. So, that being said, there's the crap game of the week. I do have a good pick, something that's definitely worth picking up. Spore Creature Creator. Have you guys checked this out yet? You can download it for free online and play with the demo.
I've heard about it, but I've not actually seen it myself yet.
I downloaded the demo, but there was no way initially, this may have changed already, but on the Mac, there was no way to unlock the game and pay for it and get a registration code and play it online, which kind of ticked me off. If you were a PC user, you could pay for it and then unlock all the different arms and, you know, the weird stuff like that that you can use in the game, but not on the Mac. The Macs were stuck at the demo, and that's it. Happened to be at Target. We happened to have already picked up the Wall-E when I looked down and I saw Spore Creature Creator, and in really big letters, Win Mac CD-ROM. Woohoo! So I bought it. It was $10. Put it in. I deleted the demo, of course. Put this in, installed it, put the code in, the registration code, and it works fine on the Mac. There was just no way to buy it online through the application on the Mac before, which really ticked me off. And this, and I'll say this, even if you don't want to spend $10, you just kind of want to tinker around with it, it's really, really... It's not a game, that's the thing. It's just something to mess around with. You literally build creatures. My daughter calls them monsters. She wants to build a monster. And it's really cool. I mean, you can give it different body shapes and eyes and legs and arms, and you can make it move so you can see what your creature will do if he's dancing. They all make different sounds depending on how you built them, so you can hear what he sounds like when he roars. You can see what he looks like when he's scared or when he's angry. You can see what the babies look like. It can spawn up to 3 babies. It's one of those things to do that doesn't sound all that interesting when you first think about it, but the more you kind of see it in action, it's kind of addictive. You kind of want to just get in there and create something and mess around, and it's just fun. It really
is. And this is the soft sell for the main sport game that's coming later on the year, yes?
Yes, it is. And it kind of gives you a taste of what Spore is going to be like. And, you know, I was really excited about Spore, but it's been so long in the coming that I've kind of lost interest in Spore at this point. Unfortunately, they'll probably send me a copy for review. So I'll have to play it. Oh, darn. But it's fun. You know, check it out. It's not going to cost you anything to download the demo. And it does, like, 80% of what the paid version is for $10. You just don't have all the options. And having more options is half the fun. So my daughter really digs it. In fact, the 13-year-old, Brittany, I said, come over here and check this out. She's like, I don't want to. I said, well, just play with it for a second. I'll be right back. I went to the other room, came back not 2 minutes later, and she was engrossed in it.
You couldn't get back on.
Oh, no, she was into it. I was like, you having fun? She's like, yeah, this is cool. And she literally sat at my desk for an hour and a half. I finally came by and said, wow. Are you still doing that? And she goes, yeah, come here and check out my creature. And she had spent an hour and a half on one creature, and she did a great job. It was really awesome.
That's going to be worth $10 said, okay, it's, anyway. Hour
yeah,
and a half.
That's $10 right there. Yeah, and she wants to do another one. And you can have as many as you want. You create your monster, you save it, and then you go back to the main screen. You can open the current monster that you've already created, or you can start a new one. And what's really cool is you have to have a login to the EA servers. You can actually see other people's monsters, download them to your computer, and mess with them. So,
complete proof that it's intelligent design.
You know, it's one of those applications that it sounds kind of goofy at first, but if my 13-year-old and my 5-year-old can play with it for hours, it's well worth $10. And honestly, I keep wanting to find an hour or so to fire it up, and I've had like 5 minutes with it total. But I keep wanting to go in there myself just to kind of create my own monster to see what I can come up with. It's awesome. It really is. You guys are going to download it after the podcast, right?
Yeah, it's kind of downloading at the moment. I don't know how it happened.
It's a fun application.
It's an accident.
It's one of those things that once you have it, you're going to play
Something
with it.
Something tells me I'm not going to get much work done tomorrow.
No, it's a fun application. It really is. And you can
but
actually...
Between the iPhone and Spore.
You can actually upload it. I think it's got a... I don't remember if it's EA's own servers or it's sending it to some video service. So you can actually go up and watch other people's creations walk around. Now, obviously, some people have made them very... what's the word? X-rated?
Yeah.
Some of them.
Adult-oriented?
Yeah. But some people have actually taken like characters in other video games and recreated them in Spore. I've seen Pac-Man, I've seen Mario, and it's really amazing the kind of detail that they're getting out of this, which at first seems kind of like a very simple application, but it's a lot more powerful than I think most people realize. It really is impressive. it's worth. It was the best $10 I've spent on anything in the last couple months, easily.
Wow! Amazing.
I wonder if they could port this.
I can't wait to try it.
I wonder if they can port this to the iPhone.
Well, didn't they? Didn't EA do a little demo?
Yeah.
With the iPhone at the 3G rollout.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to go up to the App Store right now. Is there a search function? And it's just to search iTunes. I'm just going to look for EA.
I bet it's there.
I'm wondering, No, I'm sure it's not on the iPhone yet, because I would have known. EA Sports. Yeah, see, here's the problem. I can't tell artists, EA. Now, see, this is music. I want...
Yeah.
I don't see how you can search... See, that's kind of a problem with an iTunes. Let's say I'm looking for something. I have to do a general search, and then I can narrow it down afterwards.
Well, once you get the actual App Store application, you know, outside of iTunes, I think there's going to be a... Isn't that supposed to be a separate app
within
the iPhone?
There's a Power Search button, so I click that. Power Search, Applications, Developer's Name, EA. Let's see what EA has on the App Store, because they said there were nothing yet. Nothing at all.
Boom, boom, boom.
So EA doesn't have anything on the App Store. But if they were smart, they would have a $4.99 Spore Creature Creator, because it would be... You're just using the iPhone's touchscreen to move and, you know, manipulate the different points in the arms and the legs, and it'd be perfect for it, you know? That would be a killer iPhone application. So EA, if you're listening, do it. I'll pay another $5, even though I've already paid $10 to get it on my Mac. I'll pay another $5 to get it on my iPhone, because it's just fun.
Cool.
Plus, you know, I'll actually be able to do it, and the kids won't steal it away from me. So, like I said at the beginning of the show, I was actually out of power for a number of days. That's why we didn't have a show last week. Sorry for, because I got some emails saying, "Hey, where's the show? What's going on?" That's what happened. In the future, what we probably need to do, guys, is set up who's going to record a show if I'm unavailable. Because, and I don't know if I mentioned this on the show, I am back at work now. Unfortunately, my job is 2 hours away, and I do drive it. I do that every day, so every day I'm in the car for at least 4 hours. It's closer to 4.5 hours.
Slacker.
And after working 8 hours there, driving 2 hours there, driving 2 hours back, and then sitting down to do the podcast, it's a little wearing. And so there may be a time in the future where I'm not going to want to do the show in a week or two. And hopefully one of you guys could kind of, hey, let's just do a show, guy, and you and David can just jump in and do one up. That'd be cool.
I'm flashing back to the little rascals.
Anything else before we wrap it up, guys?
No, I think I'm good.
I'm just looking forward to getting some of these applications up on the phone and also enjoying some of that 3G high-speed goodness.
Yeah, let us...
And I'm looking forward to the 32-gig iPhone. Yeah,
32-gig iPhone? You might be waiting for a little bit. Not too long, I would imagine.
Not so much.
But why can you...
I really want one so bad.
Why can you 32-gig again, guy? I don't understand.
I have a lot of content, and a lot of it is video.
Yeah, but are you really going to watch video on your iPhone? I mean, I've got an iPhone, and...
I do. Like, right now, I'm trying to get caught up, because I didn't watch the show as it's been out. I'm getting caught up on Boston Legal. And so far, I'm into the second season. And I'll watch during lunchtime, you know, one or two episodes.
Jeez, how long is your lunchtime?
Well, it's an hour. But each episode is about 40
minutes.
That's
going to cost you a gig tops for two episodes, Guy. So, again... Yep.
Only if I'm resyncing every single day.
Well, how else are you going?
I don't necessarily want to do that.
He's charging every single day. I mean, you can't get away from that.
Right, you're going to be plugging into the Mac to charge it up, anyways.
Well, do you have to plug it into the Mac to charge?
If you've got to charge it, why? Yeah, let's flip the question around. You've got to charge it. Why not plug it into the Mac?
Yeah, where else are you going
to
plug it?
Well, for example, the computer I have that's synced up to my iTunes account is this iMac downstairs. I don't even have anything really in iTunes on my laptop.
So how do you sync your iPod?
Downstairs.
Well, that's what you would do with
your
iPhone.
But I mean, I just plug it in and walk away, and then before I leave for work the next day, I unplug it. But yeah, but the iPhone is also a phone.
Right.
So would I want to just plug my iPhone in and walk away from it?
Yeah, sure, why not?
No, I wouldn't want to do that.
Well,
I'd want to have it with me.
Well, then it's going to run out of power and you'll never be able to use it.
No, I'm talking about, you know, I mean, if it's...
When it runs flat, Guy.
I want a 32 gig iPhone, damn it.
When it runs flat, it doesn't matter how much memory it is, you're not going to be able to watch anything on it.
Right, exactly.
I want a 32 gig.
I tell you, I've got the 8 gig iPhone right now, and I got really selective on what music I'm putting on it and what podcasts and that sort of thing. And I've got 1.8 gigabytes free, and I was really worried about when the App Store launches, am I going to have enough space? But looking at the physical file sizes of these programs, for the most part, I could probably buy almost everything that's on the App Store right now, and it would fit on my iPhone.
Hey, there's a challenge. Let's get all the free apps onto the iPhone by the end of the week.
No. Well, here's a question. How many times can you scroll to the right on the iPhone screen before you can't scroll anymore? I wonder if there is a limit. I mean, at one point, is the iPhone going to pop up and say, I'm sorry, I can't put any more applications on this iPhone.
What are you doing, Dave?
Okay, we're out of here. We'll see everyone next week. Thanks for coming on the show, guys.
Thanks for downloading the MyMac.com podcast. You can subscribe to this podcast at our RSS feed at MyMac.com or by visiting the iTunes Music Store's podcast section. Please send all feedback to MyMacPodcast@gmail.com. And thanks for listening to the MyMac.com podcast.